We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're joined in this portion of our program by a guest who we've spoken with a couple of times previously. Dr. Carol is joining us. Dr. Carol Lieberman is a board-certified psychiatrist. She is an award-winning and best-selling author as well. She actually trained at NYU Bellevue here in the city and at Anna Freud's London Clinic. She has served on the clinical faculty of UCLA's Neuropsychiatric Institute for years. She is joining us on our program. Talk with us. We talked in 2020 at one point in the cycle or cycles of the coronavirus. I think it was as round two, basically, of the virus was happening, the epidemic. And of course, the virus continues. You're joining us actually from your home in the state of California. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you at the start, and we're going to get into talking about some of the aftermath of the protests that took place in D.C. and some of the psychology thoughts that you have to share with us as well, and even talk about some of the coverage too in media. Let me ask you, what's it like in terms of what's happening with the virus in California? Because we on the East Coast see these reports that just seem like this is completely out of control there. I mean, is this everybody still in a lockdown mode or just what?
Well, you know, the problem is that our governor, Gavin Newsom, he changes the rules more often than he changes his underwear. And it's hard to keep up with. If you ask me to what it was exactly today, I really couldn't tell you. I mean, we are supposed to be in lockdown. What that means, you know, it's open to interpretation. But, you know, and certain things are supposed to be closed. But it is what's frightening about it is that there are so many people who are in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, not only cases of COVID, but hospitalized people, such that the ambulances are not able to drop off people sometimes. Either, you know, there have been different stories. Sometimes the ambulance comes to a hospital, and if the hospital is totally full, sometimes they bring the patient to a tent, you know, and then they get triaged there. Sometimes they tell the ambulance to go away. Sometimes they tell them to have the patient stay in the ambulance for like up to an hour or so. I mean, it could be more. And this is pretty much throughout the state. So it makes it very scary, not just for people who get COVID, but like you don't want to get anything else. You don't want to have a heart attack, or you don't want to have an accident. You know, how it affects me personally is that I ride horses almost every day. And so, you know, I'm a little more cautious now, thinking that if I fall off and break a bone, you know, there's more to it than just getting an x-ray, you know, getting and having a bandage put on. So, but you know, ironically, or in a lot of ways, people don't seem affected. You know, there are cars on the roads, and people are doing their normal thing. I mean, a lot of people, like, you don't, there are perhaps fewer cars on the road, but not dramatically fewer. And people seem to be doing their thing, whatever that seems to be. It's very strange. You know, it's like, we know that the situation is one way, it's very dramatic as far as hospitals. And yet on the other hand, people just seem to be doing their own thing.
It's been a very strange situation to watch from afar. So I was interested in getting perspective of somebody who's actually living in the state. So thank you for sharing that with us. Now, in the aftermath of Wednesday in Washington, D.C., let's talk first about this idea of the coverage. And, you know, we live in this 24/7 news cycle that really took off with the first Gulf War in this country, when a whole lot of people started watching news 24 hours a day. And at that time watching CNN, which was the 24-hour news channel. And of course, that whole phenomenon exploded in terms of the media and the coverage. But the question I pose to you is, the effect, what exactly is the effect of watching those same images from Wednesday over and over and over and over again? I mean, it's at the point where, and maybe as a student of broadcasting, I know this, I know where the edits are. I know which images are following which ones, literally in terms of the sequence of these things now. And it's just, you know, you watch it for a while. And in my mind, yeah, the best approach is to step away from this. Uh-huh. But what's the real long-term impact of watching something like that continuously?
Well, you know, the problem with news today is that it is so politicized, depending upon which channel you're watching, one view or the other. And so they're going to repeat the pictures that promote their agenda, you know. And so it's very dangerous. It's really, it's a very dangerous time as far as, first of all, people don't trust the news anymore. And they know that they're being told what this particular station or company wants you to believe. And they're getting different pieces of information, contrasting pieces of information. And so it's really, you know, and of course, the impact of seeing people storm, I mean, it was very dramatic footage, pretty much no matter which channel you watch, you know, it certainly was dramatic. It may have been more dramatic and on some channels than others, but just the idea that the Capitol building, which we kind of would have thought was safe, was never, this would never happen. Nobody ever thought that this would happen. You know, that's very powerful. And it either makes people think how horrible this is and want to blame somebody, or, and other people, it makes them want to do, want to storm things, you know, want to revolt. And, you know, this, you mentioned coronavirus, this has been happening really. What happened at the Capitol is not, if you look at the whole thing that's been happening since coronavirus, is not unexpected. Because when we, when coronavirus first came and we first started having lockdowns and all that, and we were told to wear a mask and distancing and everything, we have been losing our humanity little by little by little. whether it's even with friends, people that you know, and you don't see their whole face. And it's hard to sort of recognize people. It's hard to really know what they're thinking. You don't see people smiling. You don't get hugs. Our humanity has been stripped away. And also the fear of our own mortality has been big. And there's been an interesting thing with deaths. As the deaths have been increasing, we've almost been overloaded. You know, at the beginning, we were able to be a little more compassionate than we are now because there are too many people dying. It takes a big emotional toll to feel sorry for all of, the number is just too huge to really get our head around. And so that's another way that we're losing our humanity. It's like, it hurts to be human. It hurts to care that much. When you know somebody who lost someone or who has someone who is sick from COVID, you know, of course, that makes it a little more personal and different, and you can, you know, reach out to them. But so all of these things have been for months now, or almost a year now, really, taking away our humanity. And what has been happening in this year before, I'm talking about before the Capitol issue, what's been happening is that people have been taking over cities. Radical groups have been taking over cities. Seattle, Portland, all different cities. There have been riots. There's been looting. There's been an increase in the envelope keeps being pushed more and more. The rioting, the violence, and all of that has gotten worse and worse. I mean, people are, people are just being attacked in the street for doing nothing, just being there. And this has just been increasing, the magnitude of the violence and the feeling that somehow you can do this, we've gone past civilization, we've gone past these things were looked at before as you would never do this. You would never smash windows and loot and all that and kill people or beat up people who are just standing around there. You know, there was that horrible video that I can't get out of my mind of a woman whose store was being looted and she was just standing there. She didn't have a weapon of any kind. She wasn't trying to fight anybody. And she got, one person came at her and pushed her to the ground. And then all of the other ones jumped on top and beat her up. And, we've been seeing these things in the news. We've been seeing these horrifying things for months and months and months. So how far it's not really that far from smashing in windows and looting and beating people up to going into the Capitol.
Well, this idea, and we're talking, by the way, with Dr. Carol Lieberman on our program. She's a board certified psychiatrist. Also, she's an award-winning best-selling author. She has served on the clinical faculty at UCLA's Neuropsychiatric Institute for years. She's been a guest previously on our program, too, and always had interesting discussions. Talking about this idea of, kind of this step away from humanity. Okay, or a lessened sense of humanity coming out of some of the restrictions around the coronavirus. Was that in a way to be expected with the level of restrictions that took place? And also perhaps from the standpoint of, in a way, how quickly all of that took place across the country?
Are you saying, do you mean how the mandates, the strict mandates have been affecting us?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That is, I was just thinking about it today, how one could use the term, you know, there's a psychological term, identification with the aggressor. And what usually what one uses that for is like when children are being abused and then they grow up and they become an abuser. It's because they have identified with the person who was abusing them. And they want to have the power, you know, they felt powerless and helpless when they were kids. And now they want to have the power and be like the aggressor. And I was just thinking today about how, you know, that can apply to what's been happening with coronavirus and the mandates and the riots as well. That in a sense, the some mayors and governors who have put incredibly strict mandates down and who have been found shown to be hypocrites, that people are, you know, not, I'm not saying that they have gotten violent or were looting or whatever, you know, not literally identifying with the aggressor or literal aggression, but they are being aggressive with these mandates, especially when they don't follow them themselves. And so people are, you know, like with the Karens, for example, like, you know, people wonder why these women have become so aggressive. But it's not just the Karens. It's in general, people are becoming more aggressive. I call it Corona rage. It's where people, just like road rage, people who were all on edge. And like road rage, when just, you know, someone cuts in front of you or whatever, you're so on edge that just a minor thing like that gets someone to explode. And now, you know, it's happening with these in stores, it's happening all over the place, that people just, you know, one more thing too much and people just explode. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. How does a parent explain the concept of the corona rage, basically, to a child?
Yes, parents have had their hands full this year explaining all these crazy things to children. Well, you know, one way is to explain to them, well, first of all, you know, explaining how that's not something that they should copy, but also to explain it like in terms of a temper tantrum, that these are people, even though they're grown-ups, you know, kids have temper tantrums, and maybe that child has had temper tantrums. You know, Johnny, just like when you have a temper tantrum and, you know, we have to have a timeout or whatever, these people are having temper tantrums, and they, because of all the things, the stress of all the things that have been coming this year with coronavirus, the fear of getting coronavirus, the fear of dying, these lockdowns, these restrictions, isolation, you know, isolation in itself has a psychological impact. Not to excuse any of these people, you know, showing corona rage, but just to get children to understand it and to ask them, what do you think they could have done differently to feel better themselves and not to hurt other people?
If you find yourself in a situation with someone who's expressing corona rage, how best does one keep oneself calm if you're being the target of corona rage?
Yes, even though some people feel like they want to yell back or they want to physically, you know, strike back, that is the worst thing to do. Because when someone is expressing corona rage, first of all, you don't know how far they're going to go, you know, you could get hurt, and they're unpredictable, they're emotional, and they're unpredictable. And so the best thing to do is just to get out of their way, to get out of the situation. There's really no, you know, because these are people who would like to continue this interaction with you. And the more you can just take yourself out of it, they won't have anybody to yell at or anyone to strike if you remove yourself. And that's what we have to do these days. You know, I coined another word, Corona crazy. And that can refer to a lot of things. It often refers to what we've seen as far as people making decisions. They're not necessarily rageful, but they're making these rash decisions because they feel helpless or they don't know what to do. I'll give you one. The decision to, and a lot of times these are people in power, you know, one of them is the letting out of prisoners, letting prisoners out of the jails and prisons because of COVID. And not thinking about, first of all, how they're going to be spreading it on the streets. And second of all, how dangerous that is making the world for everybody else. So that was a very rash decision, you know, made just without thinking the whole thing through.
Let me give you a true story from something that happened to me on Friday afternoon. And I hadn't thought about this, interestingly enough. I'd blocked this out of my mind for over a day now. I was driving just across the border from part of New Jersey where I live in Pennsylvania. I'm going along on one of the highways there. And as I'm driving along, people are going by, you know, unfortunately, also in the age in which we live here, and I know it's the same in other parts of the country, most people are just flying in terms of speeds anymore, okay? It's kind of like the speed limit has become a thing of the past in many, many areas. Yeah. And I'm going along. And as I was driving, I was in the right-hand lane. It was a two-lane highway. I'm going along, and at one point, I swerved slightly to the left. I didn't go into the next lane, swerved slightly, but there was a car that was coming up in the left-hand lane. And I saw it at the last minute in my rearview mirror, driver's side mirror. And I had turn signal on because I was intending to move over into the left lane to pass a car, but not at that particular point. Person was coming up in the left-hand lane, starts blowing the horn wildly, okay? And you know that feeling, okay? And the horn's blowing wildly, and I'm thinking to myself, what's the blowing the horn about? I didn't go into the lane, but I thought, all right, whatever, let it go. Next thing I know, the car pulls up next to me.
Oh,
wow. The guy is in there. He's blowing the horn and he's gesturing. He's got that finger up and et cetera, et cetera. He's screaming toward me. And the first thought that ran through my mind was, this is a potentially very dangerous situation.
Yes.
The best thing that I can do is to be calm. And then I thought the second best thing I can do is to lose him.
Yeah.
Because there are two ways of doing that. One is if the road is clear in front of me, to floor it and literally leave him behind. But I chose to do the other thing, which was simply to slow down.
Huh.
Because we were going at highway speed, and he was in front of me. He's going along, he's up, and he realizes that I've started to slow down. All of a sudden, this hothead slams on his brakes. Now he's in the left-hand lane on a highway. Slams on his brakes. So I come up on the right. He's still gesturing, screaming, going on, starting to put his window down. I pass him on the right. The best part about this, Dr. Carroll, is I was coming right up on the exit where I was getting off.
Fortunately.
Got off. Even as I'm on the exit going on to another roadway, I can still hear him back there blowing the horn and going off. And I'm thinking to myself, here's a perfect example of how out of control some people can get. And once again, we're talking about over nothing, absolutely nothing. But this is how on edge some people can be.
Yes. It's like, how dare you? How dare you, you know, do something that was out of fear, like at the beginning anyway. He was scared that he was going to hit you or you were going to hit him. But then, you know, it's like, how dare you inconvenience me or get into my life? Or, you know, I mean, we really are fed up with people telling us what to do, controlling our lives. I mean, that's it. We're boiling over. I mean, again, I'm not giving this guy or any people like that an excuse, but I'm just trying to say, you know, that society is really, it's not getting better.
Well, I guess the $64,000 question then becomes, what exactly do we do about that? I mean, first of all, everybody in society is not going to be in therapy, okay? Maybe they should be, but they're not going to be. Should there just be some common sense things that people keep in mind? I mean, should there be some things that are literally are taught in schools as ways for people to just, young people to learn some non-aggressive actions in dealing with other people?
Well, yes. You know, of course, that's assuming that kids are going to school. But yes, of course, even on Zoom, one could teach certain things. I mean, you know, of course, it's the parents who are supposed to be teaching these things. But, you know, not all parents are doing that. Parents are dealing, trying to get through this themselves. But yes, but I said it's funny you should ask, because I have developed, actually, this isn't so much about aggression per se, although it would certainly help that because it helps your mental health. I developed an anagram where called Heal Myself, where each letter from Heal Myself stands for something that people should do every day. And this will, number one, build their immune system so they can be a little less frightened about COVID. And number two, it will help their mental health as well. So, okay, so Heal Myself. H is for healthy, nutritious food. That would be, you know, instead of just having the comfort food that we all are tending towards, myself included, you know, and comfort food. I don't remember if we talked about this the last time, but comfort food comes from the food that we had as children, the food that our parents gave us when we were children. And if we got an A on a test, you know, for a reward, or if we had something sad happen, you know, disappointing happen, like our team lost in some sport. So whatever that food is, you know, chocolate ice cream, Rocky Road, or pasta, or whatever it is, that's what you unconsciously yearn for when you're in situations when you want to be comforted again. And so I'm saying, so instead of just, you know, cutting down, one should cut down on these comfort foods and have healthy, nutritious food. E is exercise. Depending upon where you live, that could either be taking walks out in the sun, which would be ideal. Or if you're not allowed to do that, then putting on music and dancing in your living room. A is aromatherapy. There are all kinds of wonderful aromatherapy candles, like lavender, that's very calming, for example. Or if you can also gather or buy flowers or plants and put those around your house, and those also have a very satisfying, happy-making aroma. And then L is laughter, at least 1 hour a day, which is really easy to get. You can turn on television, watch a sitcom. You can watch a funny movie. You can watch cartoons with your kids, or even, you know, in a pinch, Google jokes and just read some jokes. That's super important for your immune system, for taking you out of these angry moods. You know, Norman Cousins cured himself from a potentially fatal disease by watching funny movies, one after the other, all the whole time he was awake. And of course, Reader's Digest, you know, laughter is the best medicine. We've known this for years. And some people, when I'm doing treatment therapy with my patients by Zoom, and when I tell them about how important it is for them to spend time doing something that will make them laugh, a lot of times they feel guilty. You know, they feel like, how can I take time out to laugh when there are all these people dying? You know, instead they spend the time staring at the television set, you know, and seeing all this really violent, either the violence or else the statistics, that kind of thing, even on radio too. So that's heal. Then myself, M is for meditation or calming music. Y is for your choice of vitamins and supplements, you know, particularly supplements that help the immune system. S is sleep. We need to try to get 8 hours of sleep, even though I know it's hard. People are having trouble falling asleep, waking up in the middle of the night and all that. But if you go to sleep a little earlier, then you have more of a chance, even if you wake up in the middle of the night, you have more of a chance of getting 8 hours by the time the morning comes. Then E is engaged with friends and family to support each other, and that, you know, on Zoom or telephone or in person, if, you know, if you feel comfortable with that. L, limit your daily intake of gloom and doom. So that's like the things I was talking about, the statistics and all that. And F is follow your passion. So even though you may be locked down, there are still lots of things that you can do at home that you didn't have time to do before coronavirus, when you were rushing around, you know, working and doing all these other things. And now you have more time to do something that you've always wanted to do.
You know, on that last point, there are so many people that we hear about who have basically developed hobbies. In some cases, they've actually developed businesses as a result of following some of those ideas that, you know, maybe they wanted to try for years, but never could find the time or you know, the resources to do it. And now all of a sudden they're home, and before you know it, they're doing something that with crafts, or tons of people are baking. I mean, it's pretty wild, the number of things that people have gotten into.
Yes.
And they basically, they've created a whole new fun aspect of their lives when you get right down to it.
Yes.
But a very key part of this whole approach, and I'm glad you shared that anagram with us, is the idea of making oneself the priority. And a lot of us, and I say us because I'm one of them, have a real problem doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. What advice would you give us?
Yes. Well, you know, I would say, particularly for, since it's still kind of the New Year's, we're January, still the New Year's. As the New Year's year was approaching, people were saying, you know, well, I hope 2021 is better, and it's going to be better, and, you know, we're going to get rid of 2020, and 2021 is going to be the year. Well, you know, nothing sort of magical or mysterious happens when the clock strikes 12 on its own, you know. You have to be the one to make these changes happen. And yes, you know, this is the perfect time to look into these other things that you always wanted to do and to take time for yourself. I mean, the thing is, if somebody, we all sort of need to congratulate ourselves for making it to 2021, for surviving, you know, for being able to be healthy and not succumbing and all of that. And so I think people's priorities are changing or certainly need to change in terms of putting taking care of themselves and their loved ones as number one. You know, some of these other things that we used to do, it's kind of, not only are we, some of us, not able to do it because we're not allowed to go to those places, you know, we can't go to a ball game or, you know, a museum, or there are lots of things we can't do. So it really is the perfect time to start doing things for ourselves, you know, working on ourselves, doing, uncovering these old dreams from childhood, you know, things that, I mean, because if we don't do like my anagram, and the point of the anagram was so that people could remember each of these things, but if we don't do these things, first of all, we're at great risk of getting sick. And it, you know, it's the saddest part would be once COVID is gone, and we come out of our holes, like little mice, we come out of our holes. And if we haven't done these things, if we haven't made ourselves healthier, if we haven't, learned how to calm ourselves, do things, made ourselves physically healthier and done some special, you know, follow your passion kinds of things. It doesn't have to be like a giant accomplishment, just something that makes us happy, you know. If we haven't done these things and we're told we can come out of our mouse holes, we're going to feel really disappointed in ourselves that we didn't use this time to do something that made ourselves happier and healthy.
Quite true. The voice of Dr. Carol Lieberman, our guest in this portion of our program. Thank you very much for joining us. Certainly always a wonderful discussion and chatting with you on our program too. And certainly wish you continued good health as you proceed along in 2021.
Thank you. The same to you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.